You're listening to 1232, an audio epic, produced by Rumblestump Entertainment. Chapter 18. Karin, weak and dizzy, couldn't stand when Rhaegar and his men came for her. They had dragged her into the castle bailey and locked her in an iron cage that was firmly set in the center. The heavy dew made the morning wet and cold. The grounds were filled with tension as none of the Black Riders returned from following the priest. In the gray day, she waited for the sounds of battle or news to help her tired mind understand. But nothing happened. All day, people of Brecken came to her cage and whispered prayerful words. They sounded more like dull buzzing than words of encouragement. She didn't want to move, even if she had the strength, for she knew her left shoulder was broken, and by the blood all over her clothes, she realized there must be something wrong with her head. Tenderly, she reached up to feel and realized her right ear was gone. It was then that her prayers took on a new cry.
My yes, I will soon see your face. I will see your face.
And even now, as they carried her into the castle in the dark, starry night, she was filled with eternal hope and looked ahead without fear.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
She passed through the upper level corridor and was dragged by her hair down a short, curved stair. Through the great double doors underground, she entered a round room lit by crude coal lamps.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them.
She was hurled to the floor and looked up, however slowly, to take in what would be her fate. Zoriel's back was to the door, her fingers idly snapping. Her eyes stabbed over her shoulder at Karin. She took a step forward and turned. Her gold and black dress flowing and settling with her graceful movements. She held in her hand a copy of John Thatcher's leather-bound Bible, the one he had left with Karin. Now there were at least 20 of the books around Brecken, thanks to his printing press.
This,
Zoriel said, holding the book in one hand and shaking it.
The Womb of Liberty, so I've been told.
She spoke to Rhaegar now with a semblance of a smile on her face, but in her eyes, a pure and wicked hatred for the book in her hand.
And the words of this Christ are in red. Why, Capitan? I shall enlighten you, because he wrote every word in his own blood to free the captive and the slave.
She laughed, as if it were a joke.
Only blood can free a captive. Bring our captive forward.
The guards picked up Karin and brought her forward. The faithful miller's wife found the strength to stand face to face with Zoriel, whose sharp eyes froze her gaze. But Karin was beyond this intimidation. Her hands didn't even tremble. The enchantress drew herself up to her full height, threatened by the look of peace that Karin had upon her face. A soft expression, but resolute. Assured of her safety in the arms of the afterlife. Zoriel raised her hand. Rhaegar was quicker. He kicked Karin's knees from under her so that she landed face first on her limp, broken shoulder.
Kneel before your queen,
he roared, standing over her. Zoriel's chiseled face became strange and twisted. Pleased, she knelt, gripping Karin's chin between her fingers. The enchantress's clutch, like an iron vice, lifted the head of her captive, studying its features. Her eyes displayed pleasure at Karin's blood-crusted hair as she spoke into the wounded woman's good ear.
You are one of the rebels. Cardigan came to you for help. Where did you send him? Where are those that escaped with him? How did they escape?
Karin remained silent. Zorial stood up, her long brunette hair sweeping Karin's face, dismissively like a cat's tail. A low rumble, a growl, came from Zorial's throat. Her body trembled as she tried to control her passionate anger. With a yell, Zorial asked again,
"How did they escape? Speak, fool! And I may yet show you mercy."
She looked possessed, as if a ghost of her own self was trying to escape from her body. She squeezed her hands into tight fists, and the motion kept the demon at bay. Karin lay powerless on the cold stone, tasting her own blood, her thoughts becoming clearer as the pain subsided. Karin closed her eyes, and then, with an unusual show of strength, she rose to her feet. Again, face to face with the Enchantress, she stood upright, her mind focused.
"If this is to be my last free breath..."
She looked Zorial in the face and turned her palms upward, offering Zorial nothing.
"Mercy. I know mercy. His name is Yesu. And if I did answer you, I would not live free for one day. For even your mercy is cruelty."
Zorial slapped Karin across the face with the back of her hand. Karin, dazed, brought her gaze back to meet Zorial's. Karin didn't want to be kept alive, like Zorial's other pet slaves. And so she enacted her own sentence and spat in the Enchantress's face. Rhaegar reached for his sword hilt, but Zorial put out her hand to signal him to stay. She wiped the spit and blood away with a pleasant expression. Then she dropped the Bible and pulled Karin into a one-arm embrace, bringing her close enough to whisper. Zorial pulled Karin in, and with the other hand, plunged a dagger into her stomach, angled it upward. The pain lasted for a fleeting moment. Karin closed her eyes gently as the light went out of them and slumped over, free at last. Zorial twisted the dagger and then drew it out, shoving Karin's body away.
"Take that abomination and impale it on a stake, and set it before the gate outside the wall. Make sure they can all see it when they come to rescue her."
She wiped her dagger on the pages of the Bible and kicked it violently across the room.
"And burn that dreaded book."
She left the chamber, her dress rustling like wind in the treetops. A slender hound waited for her at the threshold and followed her up the stairs. Rhaegar set about obeying her orders. High above, in the tower, through the arrow slit in the prison chamber, Taff could hear mourning from the courtyard below. There were other Brecken citizens within the castle walls who now mourned for someone. Taff couldn't discern their cries, but felt in his heart their distress. In the days that he had been a prisoner, however, he had heard the rustle and assembly of armored knights below. Someone was causing trouble in Brecken. Taff hoped this meant that Rona and Flint had escaped from the clutches of Rhaegar. Sitting up on his knees, he did the only thing he could. He prayed. The prisoner's prayers encompassed far more than a request for the safety of his friends, but the desperate plea that his family was alive.
This episode of 1232 is sponsored in part by Oasis Family Media and its family of companies, including Oasis Audio, Enclave Publishing, and Sky Turtle Press. Publishers of the forthcoming epic, Edmund Spenser's The Fairy Queen, rendered in modern prose by Rebecca K. Reynolds and illustrated by Justin Girard. For more information, visit fairyqueen.com. That's fairyqueen.com. Or find the link in the description below.
Hello, 1232 listeners. This is Callie Sue, and I'm excited to tell you about Dramafy, the ultimate platform for creators and fans of audio dramas. With oodles of genres, hundreds of shows, and thousands of episodes, Dramafy is your go-to streaming service exclusively for family-friendly audio dramas. Whether you're a devoted listener or a creator of a family-friendly masterpiece, Dramafy has something for you. And guess what, 1232 listeners? You can now enjoy 1232 on Dramafy. Just go to dramafy.com/1232. That's dramafy.com/1232 and get started for free. Happy listening.
Do you like listening to your stories with less advertisements? I understand. Do you and the babushka and the kiddies want interruption-free show? Go to audio-epic.com to buy it. Ad-free, that's audio-epic.com for advertisement-free show. It's easy.
Let's see. Where did we leave off?
Are you certain, Smith?
Cardigan asked, his face drawn and weary from the news.
Yes, sir, I am. It was Karen.
Smith hung his head low. He had just returned from the castle gate to the tree line, where Cardigan and the others were waiting.
There was no public execution. They must have killed her in the night.
He was breathless, more from shock than from exertion, for never once had he imagined he would find Karn's body impaled on a stake before the castle gate.
She was not hanging there when they closed the gates last night. She was in an iron cage. It was in secret that they murdered her, Cardigan. What does it mean? Her trap was baited and set, but she sprung it too soon.
This never was a trap, Smith. She does not fear us.
No reason she should, I suppose.
Smith said, thinking.
Ah, but there is. She has defied the Lord in this by suppressing these people. The Lord is on the side of the oppressed. He is on our side. She ought to be afraid.
Even as he spoke, Cardigan's strength was waning, but he dared not show it.
Well, what do we do now?
Smith asked, sounding as if he were ready to take on Zorial's entire force himself.
We will wait for night. Then we will take Karen's body back with us.
For the greater part of the day, the resistance prepared themselves for another attack. Cardigan would surely be pursued on his way back with Karin's body. Rona and little Dafydd, who wouldn't leave her side, helped Scarlet with the horses. Flint was ordered to gather firewood, and did so most of the day. His new pet, never far from him. It was a busy day, full of basic tasks. Several men went hunting and brought back their bounty, two deer and a few rabbits. Dafydd caught a pheasant in a snare. So the afternoon was spent dressing the game. The attack never came, and no word from Cardigan either. Worries rose in the camp as the sun sank down. A heavy dew fell in the evening, making it uncomfortable for all those who slept on the ground. No one wanted to sleep, though. Flint, Dafydd, Rona, Ed, and the priest sat around a small fire, watching Dafydd's pheasant roast. The smell was wonderful. Ed was fletching arrows quietly with his back against a tree, his cloak and hood wrapped about him. Rona thought of the Disney Robin Hood movie she loved as a child and smiled. Ed would have been a badger if he'd been a character in that movie. Perhaps his neatly trimmed beard made her think of that. Flint broke the silence.
What are y'all gonna do when this is over?
He asked, glancing toward the priest.
Over? You mean when they're done fighting? Flint, you should know better. They don't have a chance. And even if they beat this witch, they'll have to fight somebody else. It's like those stupid games you used to play. Build a town, bad guys come and burn it, build it better. It's the cycle, duh.
Rona thought she was being clever, but her comment was disheartening. Flint's eyebrows went up. He was a little surprised at her rudeness in front of the others. Ed ignored Rona's diatribe.
I will find a wife and have sons. They will all grow to be strong bowmen, bold as lions. Like Dafydd here,
he said, reaching over and tussling the boy's hair. Dafydd smiled.
What will you do when this is all over, Flint?
Priest Michael asked, his eyes searching Flint's. He and Rona both looked at each other, and Flint squirmed.
I hadn't really thought about that much. I'm not sure how it will end for us.
Well, don't worry, Flint. We probably won't see the end of this thing. The way we fight, we're just cannon fodder. Excuse me, sword fodder.
Rona said. Still pessimistic, Ed kept working on the arrows. The priest turned his gaze on Rona now.
You are young in the ways of our Lord, Rona.
His voice betrayed no condescension.
I think she just means that we have about as much of a chance of surviving as you people do in succeeding with your cause. I mean, I believe in God, I've read the Bible, It doesn't say we will stop the Enchantress, even though she is evil and we are good.
Flint tried not to act offended, but he was firm in his contradiction of the priest's words. The priest chuckled, his mirth relieving all the tension.
There is always more, my son. This we see when we grow in the Lord.
Do you mean there is more than the Bible as a way to know God? Are you talking about other historical writings or revelations? I'm not sure I follow you.
Flint said, his brow wrinkled.
Ah, my dear brother. You believed you knew the creator of the world merely by reading the book?
The priest then laughed out loud, and stirring the fire with a stick, he went on smiling.
There are no secrets. We humankind believe we know God when we only know about him. But to love him, brother, we must truly know him. For this, he must teach us to experience him. Do you not remember that he promised never to leave us? Each time I read scripture, the Comforter reveals more of our Father in heaven than I knew before. While I do not see him, I come to know more surely that he is here and that he speaks.
I've read the Bible, sort of. I remember some stories. I don't see how any of them will help us here. Where is God now? If he is here, I can't hear him or sense him or see his plan. Wouldn't he leave signs or something, do a miracle?
Rona said, as she looked over at the priest, studying him. Priest Michael laid his hand over his heart and didn't speak for a few minutes.
If you know the stories, you know this, that we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Our path is chosen not by sight, but by faith. Do you remember? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
That's fine for someone who has a lot of faith,
Flint said as Rona dropped her eyes, avoiding the priest's direct gaze.
I am unable to understand how to fight a spirit war against invisible enemies or an unseen captain. What weapon have I? What strategy? Besides that, there are enemies about us that are real enough.
These were Ed's words, murmured as he looked down the shaft of an arrow, checking to make sure it was straight.
Real? My doubting man, the unseen is real.
Priest Michael reached over Dafydd, helping him take the bird off the spit.
Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains water the earth.
Ed stopped what he was doing, smiled, and nodded. Flint had furrows in his forehead deep enough to plant seeds in, and Rona let out a disgusted sigh.
Ugh, I don't get it.
You've been listening to 1232, produced by Rumble Stump Entertainment. Written by Callie Sue and Cheyenne Bell. Narrated by Callie Sue. Today's voice talents include Jessica King as Zorial, Jonathan Cook as Rhaegar, Sherry Evans as Karn, Robin Cage as Rona Thatcher, Corey Keller as Flint Thatcher, Matt Burke as Cardigan, Sid Goodlow as Priest Michael, Mike Darling as Smith, and Garrett Goodlow as Edward. This episode was mixed and engineered by Jet Black, with editing and sound design by Casey Caballero, Caballero Sounds. Mastered by Zach Bryant, Nine Moon Mastering. Cover art by Niall C. Grant. Continue the adventure.